Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to his people of goodwill. Friends, a very happy Christmas and a warm welcome to our service here at Scots Church Melbourne and to those joining us online by live streaming. Let's stand and begin by singing that great carol, O Come All Ye Faithful.
The first Bible reading is Isaiah 9, verses 6 to 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this.
Please join me in prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father of all being, we thank you on this day of celebration that indeed that promised child has been born, that long-awaited son has been given. In the birth of that child in Galilee, Jesus of Nazareth. A humble birth in Herod's reign, celebrated by angels and by foreign kings, yet held at the margins by those who called themselves your people Israel. Shunned, ignored, cast aside and crucified. From his birth in a stable to his death on a cross, a faithful servant and Prince of Peace. Father, we pray together that in the midst of the world's celebrations, that all of us might take a moment to pause and thank you for embracing our humanity. For giving up your majesty to absorb our shame, that we in our weakness might find honour and forgiveness. For this we thank you as we pray in the words Jesus taught us, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The second reading is from Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, Greetings, O favoured one, the Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favour with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, How will this be, since I am a virgin?
We're going to join in singing another carol now. If you're following along in the program, you'll know it's Christmas Bush for his adorning. Let's stand and sing.
Is born the angels' father.
Please be seated. Friends, traditionally on Christmas Day, our offering supports the work of the Tear Fund, and a receptacle for that purpose is available to you as you leave at what we'll call the front doors. Being a regular Sunday, which does happen every now and then, there'll be a collection plate for our regular members too for your usual offerings. That's also going to be at the door as you leave. Now, speaking of giving, we would love to give our little magazine to you if you're visiting today. They're spread all around the seats, freely available. Please take one as our little Christmas gift to you. Take two if you like. If you need a last-minute Christmas gift for someone else, grab one and take it to Christmas lunch. Lots of good reading, good fun, and a little gift to you from Scots Church. Louise is going to bring us our third reading now.
The third reading is from Luke chapter 1, verses 67 to 80. And John's father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham to grant us, that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in the darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace." And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance to Israel.
Letha is going to lead us in prayer.
Let us now join our hearts and minds together in prayer. Heavenly Father, on this glorious Christmas day, your people all over the earth and us rejoice greatly because for to us a son is given. His name is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Lord God, thank you for the greatest gift of all, in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Emmanuel, God with us, the hope of all humankind. Lord, make a way for the good news of your kingdom to reach every home, every heart, and everywhere, we pray. Emmanuel, we give thanks for you are the comforter, the defender, the provider of the poor, the helpless, the homeless, the hungry, the weary, the oppressed, the orphaned, those persecuted for their faith in you, the sick, those who mourn, the aged, and the little children. Lord Jesus, as we celebrate your birth today, help us to remember the true meaning of Christmas, which is your great love you have for us, to take our punishment for our sins and provide it a way, the only way, for us to spend eternity with you. Lord God, we pray that you would help us to recognize those who may need our help or love this Christmas. We remember those who have none. We pray for those without loved ones and those who feel forgotten and unloved. May they know that Christ is love, for he is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. We remember those unable to celebrate Christmas with their loved one today due to illness. We pray for Ronnie Chung's brother in Hong Kong and those in our church community who are unwell or on the way to recovery. May they know the power of Christ, the power to love and heal. Savior of the world, thank you for revealing yourself to those who do not know your immense love and blessing those who rejoice at your coming. And now, loving God, bless our tithes and offerings today and use them to carry forth your will through our church. May our gifts be acceptable in your sight, and may we be filled with all the fullness of God. And we ask these things through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
2022 has been the year of the word game, at my house at least, especially with Wordle, where you get six chances to guess a random five-letter word. Guess number one, if you can see last Monday's game on the screen. Good strategy, use up as many vowels as you can. Ratio. Step two, use the remaining vowels, or some of them at least. Plate. And look at that, four letters out of five, green, all in the right places. Step three, mop up. Now, Louise, my wife, and I are fiercely competitive. I'll share my stats for the year with you on the next screen. Most often, I'll take four guesses. Seven times, I've solved it in two. Louise, of course, has done far better, but we won't talk about that. But so, in the spirit of the season, I've got a Christmas word game for you this morning that I'm hoping you'll be able to see on the screen that has something to say about the hidden essence of Christmas. It's a word game that starts with the words of the prophet Isaiah, who in the midst of Israel's destruction in the 5th century BC was looking forward to a time of national restoration, but more than that, of spiritual restoration as well. Israel, meant to be the people of God, instead were anything but. They were a nation full of corruption and greed and abuse of the poor. And so, in a sense, the prophet Isaiah sees the coming invasion by Assyria and their exile as being exactly what Israel deserves. And yet a time will come, he says, for a new king in the line of David, and a new start, and new hearts. It's a very famous verse, especially if you're familiar with Handel's Messiah, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, that out of disaster will come a saviour king, that the people who lived in darkness will see a great light. He says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." So here's our word game. Looking forward, and it's 500 or more years till this flicker of light, he says there will be a child, a son. "For to us a son is given." Which are words that, when you play my little word game, and it helps if you can see the screen at the front, words I want to suggest contain the hidden secret of Christmas. You need to take just a few letters away from the middle. Now, I know it's not rocket science, easier than Wordle for sure. Now, those were Isaiah's words 500 years BC, as we used to call it, before Christ. Of course, if you turn to gospel writers like Luke in the New Testament, when the time finally comes, they know exactly who Isaiah was talking about in this kingdom that will have no end. Which you can see in that announcement from the angels to Mary in Luke chapter 1, the eternal, unending kingdom. It was in our second reading, the child Mary is to bear, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. This son we're given is Son of God, and as Isaiah says, his rule will be forever. Now that on its own is the big claim of Christmas. But there is still a secret, which, if you can see on the screen, is kind of getting closer. "For to us a son is given." And we've taken away, what, four or so letters, four or five from the middle already. Let's get rid of another one. Can we click again? Or we've won ahead. "For to us," no, one more, I think, "given." Can we have one more click? Getting closer. At this point, of course, makes no sense at all, but I'm sure you can see where it's heading. Luke in his gospel opens not with the birth of one child, but two. I don't know if you're aware of that, the announcement of the birth of Jesus to Mary, but there is another birth to announce too, and that's John the Baptist to Elizabeth and Zechariah. John, who has a key role in setting the scene, telling us something important about the nature of the kingdom that's dawning with the coming king. So Zechariah, his dad, is immensely proud of this support role being given to his son. I guess kind of like being parents of a ball boy at the Australian Open. You know, it's not the main game, but he's there on centre court. Let's get rid of one more letter before we go to the words of Zechariah. Here's the dad of John the Baptist celebrating, not first of all his own son, but the one who Isaiah says will come in the house of David. Zechariah says, "God has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David." And then a word to his own baby boy. "And you, child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people, in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. Go before him, prepare his ways. And again, those same ideas from Isaiah. There'll be light for those in darkness. There'll be hope for those in the shadow of death. Our feet will be guided in the way of peace. And all of which comes back to that secret, which we'll see in a moment. We're almost there. Let's click again. Did you notice those key words? Look again. To give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins. Now, friends, the hidden secret of Christmas, the hidden secret of Jesus, is that he is all about forgiveness, being forgiven. The way that the people of Israel were offered a fresh start in the kingdom of grace and reconciliation that invites people of every nation, even people like us, to be forgiven. It's interesting, in our newly developing social media culture of shame, the concept of forgiveness is almost out of the question. How do you get it when the world has shamed you? Transgress a social norm, you are cancelled. There is no way back. There is almost no way in this day to be forgiven. And so your name is erased from the honour rolls, your club membership is revoked, you're fired from your job, your Facebook friends all unfriend you, shamed, cancelled, persona non grata, persona non person. No way back. The great news of Christmas being that is not the way it works with God. Even for Israel, shamed and disgraced, there is always going to be a way back to forgiveness and being honoured again. With the birth of this King of Forgiveness, who somehow, by the end of the story, is going to take all the shame onto himself, leaving only mercy and forgiveness for us. Friends, this is a profound story. Louise and I finally went to see Hamilton the other day. The story, of course, of Alexander Hamilton, the brilliant American founding father, who made a devastating mess of fathering his own family, of being faithful to his wife. The very climax of the story, this caught me by surprise. Although he has cheated, although his family has crumbled around him, Eliza reaches out and puts her hand in his and forgives him. There are moments that the words don't reach. There's grace too powerful to name, she sings. Forgiveness. Can you imagine? Forgiveness. Can you imagine? Friends, the point is, if the secret of Christmas is that it's all about forgiveness, it actually means Santa has got things badly wrong. Will someone please tell him? Forgiveness doesn't keep a naughty or nice list. Just the opposite. Forgiveness cancels the lists and offers grace instead. God is stepping into our world and breaking the cycle of payback. And instead of giving people what they deserve, brings grace and forgiveness instead. Absorbing the cost. Giving when it's not deserved. Of cooking Christmas lunch again when they should surely one day of the year be cooking it for you. Of forbearing with that relative who's so badly wronged them, welcoming them to your table. Of re-engaging with family when family is so often the cause of our deepest pain. Later on in his gospel, Luke picks up on the same theme. As soldiers are in the very act of nailing his hands and feet to the cross, Jesus says, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do." And so you see, the logic is at the heart of the Christian faith we celebrate today. The logic is because we have been forgiven, we freely forgive. Later on, the Apostle Paul puts it this way: be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Which leaves all of us, I guess, not just with a Christmas secret, but with a Christmas challenge as well. You might have seen New York pastor Tim Keller was quoted in The Age last week in an excellent article about the grace of Christmas. And he makes the point that, yes, the notion of forgiveness is fading in Western society, which, he said, puts our culture in a very dangerous place. He says a society that has lost the ability to extend and receive forgiveness risks being crushed by the weight of recriminations and score settling, which is equally true, I think, of a home, of a family, of a workplace. In his own experience of counselling married couples, Tim Keller says those who embraced forgiveness usually survived, but those who didn't always parted. He says without forgiveness, no human relationships or communities can be sustained. Without forgiveness, centuries-long cycles of retaliation, violence, and genocide repeat themselves. He says we should forgive because it's profoundly practical. To fail to forgive is to undermine the health and coherence of one's body, one's relationships, and the entire human community. Pragmatically, in other words, it makes sense to forgive. It's a sign of health, of healing, of mental health, of relational health, of social health. And yet we still find it so very, very hard to do. Which is where Jesus, in the secret gift of Christmas, gives us the resources we need to do that. A sense of the beauty of God's costly grace to us as the resource we can draw on to provide that same kind of costly grace to one another. And so, having been forgiven, I wonder if we can take off just one more letter and make this the day that, in the light of what Jesus has done, we can learn to forgive, which would indeed be enough to make the angels sing all over again. So let's stand and join them in our final carol. Hark, the herald angels sing. Well, friends, thank you for being with us on this Christmas morning. A special thank you to our choir and music director and the team for a great morning of music. And now may grace, mercy and peace from God the Father, God the Son and God the Holy Spirit be with us both now and forevermore. And on behalf of the elders and staff and leaders here at Scots again, we wish you a very blessed Christmas season. Amen.
Amen.